As I said, this is a Genesis overview, so some of this is going to be familiar to some of the veterans who have been here. Hopefully, it's a good refresher for you. Obviously, we're studying the book of Genesis. Now, that is actually not its biblical or its Hebrew name. Its Hebrew name is the book of Bereshit, and that is one word. I often tell people that I like to do a 5-teaching session on Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, just the first 7 words, and they start counting up with their fingers. Well, in the beginning, no, that's one word. Bereshit is in the beginning. By the way, this book was written, we believe it was written by Moses. The New Testament affirms that. There's people that like to debate that and argue about that. We're not going to take time to go into that. But I want you to notice that Moses' name in Hebrew is Moshe. And last week we talked about some of the interesting things that God does with names. We're going to see that a lot tonight. Hebrew is read from right to left, exactly the opposite of how we read in English today. But if you take the 3 letters of Moses' name, read from right to left, and instead read them from left to right, Moshe's name becomes Hashem. Hashem means the name. And we're going to talk a lot tonight about the significance of the name. Now, why would I bring that out at the very beginning? Because Moses is going to be a reflection of the Redeemer. He is a Redeemer, but he is not the Redeemer. And so his name is but a reflection of the one who will come, who will actually be called the name. And your mind should be jumping into the book of Acts, where the apostles stand and declare there is no other name given in heaven and earth whereby men might be saved. Well, we call this the beginning. But in the beginning of what? There's 3 things that I want you to understand that Genesis begins. First of all, it is the beginning of creation. It's telling you the story of how God created the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then verse 3, it says, "And God said, let there be light." But actually, it says, "Let him be light." You need to understand that everything we study in the book of Genesis is about Jesus. It's about the Messiah. And in creation, we're going to come to know God and know our Redeemer. So it's the beginning of the story of creation. That's obvious as you read through chapter 1. But it's also the beginning of revelation. Now, what I mean by that, the revelation, unfortunately, because we have a book at the end of the Bible, the other end of the Bible, called Revelation, it gets a bit confusing. But revelation is simply the unveiling of God's Word. So whenever you hear me use the word revelation, unless I specify the book of Revelation, I'm talking about the overall concept of how God reveals himself through the Word. This is the beginning of revelation. Why is that important? Because at the very beginning, we're going to learn how letters work and how words work. And how sentences work, and how paragraphs, and even beyond that, we're going to learn how stories, and numbers, and events, and experiences of God's people, all these things are going to come together, but it begins here. So if you want to understand how to properly understand the Word of God, where should you start? In the beginning. Because this is where the written revelation begins. Learn how it works here, and you will understand how it works all the way through to the revelation, and when you get there, you won't be mystified. Because you will have learned the language. You will learn how words and letters and numbers and sentences and figures and events, all of these things work, and it won't be such a mystery. A quick example, just to illustrate this, is how deep this word is. Last week I talked about wanting to show you the inspiration of Scripture. From just the first root word of the first word of the Bible, Bereshit is built on either the Hebrew word Rosh or the Hebrew word Roshit. We'll use Rosh for tonight. From that word alone, you can discover 5 revelations about the ministry of the Messiah. First, that he is the creator. And we're going to stress that over and over again. Jesus is the creator. The New Testament affirms that over and over. Secondly, he is the cornerstone. He is the Rosh Pinah, the chief cornerstone. Psalm 118, verses 18 through 21. He is the chief cornerstone, rejected of men, but chosen by God. When was he rejected? At the foundation, at the beginning. All right? Third, he is the coming king. When you think about the Rosh, you think of the person who is the head or the authority, the beginning, the chief of something. So even in that word, we have a picture of the kingship of the Messiah. He is the Korban, C-O-R-B-A-N, which simply means he is the sacrifice. That's the Hebrew word for sacrifice. He is the covenant maker. He is the one who has the authority to enter into covenant with humanity. All these things from the first root word of the first word of Scripture. Isn't that amazing? And guys, this is just scratching the surface. This is one of those places where I wish we could stop and go into detail, but we'll have to do that some other time. It's the beginning of creation, revelation, and number three, it's the beginning of redemption. We talked a little bit about this last week. Guys, everything that you see God do in creating you is going to be mirrored in how he recreates you or redeems you. My whole approach in interpreting Scripture is based on Isaiah 46:10. Remember this. Fix it in mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. For I make known the end from the beginning, and from ancient times what is still to come. And I say, my purpose will stand. I will do all that I please. In that passage, from that passage, I want you to understand how I approach the Scripture. First of all, I want you to take note of how Isaiah says to remember something, to fix it in mind, to take heart. What's he stressing? That there's something critical, important in what he is about to say. All right, there's a major lesson here. And what is that lesson? That God can tell you the end of something while showing you the beginning. Years ago, I got very frustrated with God. Some of you have heard the story, because I was sure I was going to be a revelation teacher. I was going to be a prophecy teacher. And the Holy Spirit woke me up one night and was showing me things, but he was showing me things in the wrong end of the book. He was showing me things in Genesis. And I finally blurted out to the Lord. I said, God, I don't want to go back to the garden. I don't want to know the things from the beginning. I want to know the things from the end. If you're going to show me something from the end. And the Holy Spirit told me to get up and read this verse. I'm the God who makes known the end from the beginning and from ancient times what is yet to come. Guys, that's a major lesson. That in looking at Genesis, you're not looking at the past. You're looking at the future. Because what God did to create you, he's going to do to redeem you. How he revealed himself in the past is how he's going to reveal himself in the future. It's all a picture and it's all a pattern. God's purpose is the heart of prophecy, and it's simply this. To understand prophecy, you must first understand what his ultimate purpose really is. And that is to show you how much he loves you and wants to be in fellowship with you. The end is revealed in the beginning, and God's purpose will remain the same throughout human history. You think, well, Brent, what does that have to do with Bible interpretation? It's critical to Bible interpretation because it means every passage that you come to, whether it's in the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, or if it's in the Nevi'im and the prophets, or the Ketuvim, the writings, or in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, it doesn't matter. It all has the single purpose of God to reveal himself and to draw humanity to himself. All of the Bible must be read and understood in that way. Even some of those parts of the Bible that freak you out, like the wars of annihilation in the Old Testament. And you're sitting there and you're struggling with how a loving, just, merciful God, Brent, how in the world, what does that have to do with God's redeeming of humanity? Well, throughout Scripture, you're going to learn that God's, on one hand, when God gives justice, his other hand is extending mercy. And that God is always moving, and sometimes it takes his justice to bring about his mercy, to protect those he loves. It's all about God showing you his heart and who he truly is. So in order to understand the Bible, we must understand that God's purpose in the past is revealed. God's purpose in the past is revealed in God's pattern from the past, and that explains God's plans for the future. God's purpose in the past is revealed in God's pattern from the past and explains God's plan for the future. Guys, the bottom line is this. God's purpose doesn't change. And the same reason he wrote Genesis is the same reason he wrote Matthew is the same reason he wrote the Revelation. It's all the same. if you go to the Bible and you start reading from a book and you don't have that in front of you and in your heart and mind, you will miss the true intent of that story, of that book, of that passage. Well, guys, the only way we're ever going to really fully understand God's Word is that we need to have a restoration of our understanding of the Hebrew Scriptures. We literally need to be a part of a restoration movement that chooses to go deeper in the Word than we've ever been before.